This is Clayton from Cell Dweller, and I'm back again for Chapter 3 of Wish Upon a Black Star. This is the commentary edition. I've already gone through the lucky one for you, and if you're not listening to these in sequence, then you think this is the first one. And it works either way. I think you can listen to these out of order and still feel good about your life. So I'm going to blab over the tainted demos, the beta sessions tainted demos, and kind of fill you in on what I was thinking and what I was doing and why I was doing it and why I probably shouldn't have done it and how maybe doing what I did brought me to what I ultimately ended up finishing. And I don't even know what I just said. It was completely confusing to me, and I just kept following some rabbit trail down a path in my brain and ended up over there. You know, I've always had this quote that I feel like I came up with it, but maybe I didn't. But it's just simply, the quickest way to sound dumb is to open your mouth. So apparently it really hasn't taught me any valuable lessons, because I still talk a lot. If I was smart, I would just shut up. So in the words of Bill Paxton, stop your grinning and drop your linen. It's the tainted beta sessions. So this dates back over 5 years ago. Obviously the lyrics are a little bit different. But that is actually the patch and the virus. At that time, virus B, now the virus TI, that I ended up just taking all the way to completion. I think it sounds a little bit better now, but that is the actual same patch. Those little squeaky guitar things right here made it to the final mix. I never replaced those. And that happens a lot more than I think that it's gonna happen. I end up getting used to a sound and I end up just keeping it. So there's another classic example of that happening. Again, I'm hearing sounds in here that made it to the final mix. Thankfully, those Who's were not one of them. And conceptually, it was just the way I'd heard the song start, and that ended up also making it to the end. It's coming right in instead of some big, long, drawn-out intro. And there are those crappy drums I referred to in The Lucky One. If you want to know what I'm talking about, you can listen to The Lucky One, or I can just re-explain the whole thing from scratch here. Which may end up not being a really bad idea, because I have to fill some space anyway. Because if you listen to The Lucky One commentary, I just end up blabbing about random things because my brain kind of heads off into a different direction. And I've got 35, 40 minutes of music I gotta speak over. What's cool is I end up turning into this drony, monotone, vocal voice thing from the future that just keeps filling every single space in this entire mix with some sort of syllable that will ultimately put you to sleep. What was I saying? Right, drums. So I ended up putting an SM57 or some cheap-ass mic in front of my drum kit in some room in my house when I was demoing these things many, many moons ago. And I just kind of sat down, worked out a couple of parts, and recorded them in with just a single mic. Edited up some performances just so that I had a reference for kind of where I wanted them to be, and those ended up being in the demos for a number of years until I actually got to the point where I was ready to start cutting tracks and redoing them. And like I said in the Lucky One commentary as well, I felt a little weird. Felt a little unclean when I cut real drums, because they sounded too good compared to the crappy drums that I had cut and had been so used to listening to in the demo. I adjusted pretty quickly though and said, yeah, this is way better. It's not a question of why and if she'll make it. So pretty early in the demo process, we're into final vocal takes. Like, these are actually the real vocals that ended up making the final mix. What it ended up being is Tainted ended up becoming one of the quickest songs I had ever written, and had the least amount of tracks out of probably any song I'd ever written. Meaning any song that I've actually released to you. I'm sure I've written songs with like 4 tracks in them, but thank God above that nobody has access to those files, because they probably are absolutely horrid. So this ended up being, I don't know, 60 or 80 tracks or something like that of just little synths and drum parts and vocals. But that's a pretty light session for me. So I knew from front to back early on the song was what it was. It was good to go as far as a song. It was just more about production. How are we going to go in and produce this thing? And what were the guitars going to sound like? And I had very specific ideas of edits and what kinds of tones I wanted. And I didn't really need to worry about anything until we started cutting. So I just left it. So a lot of these early demos, there weren't too many versions of them because it had come together so quickly. And like that guitar tone right there, I knew I wanted this big fuzzy guitar. And it ended up being in mix. Grant Mormon and I, who was co-producing the record with me, started experimenting with tweaking that a little bit. And I ended up automating a bunch of EQs and kind of it turned into like this Prodigy type wah guitar type distorted thing. And to me, it was much more interesting than just these straight up stabs. Of course, I could decide in moments that I should have just kept it the way it was, but that's just the way it goes. I guess at this point it's too late and I'll have to live with it. She fought them bravely until defenses caved in, pressing their teeth. Yeah, we're listening to bone dry vocals here. There's not a single effect on those things. And like I mentioned in The Lucky One, you're gonna get the stems anyway if you want them at fixedremix.com when I put these songs up for remix. So you'll get all the raw vocals and the guitars and, you know, synth sounds and all the rest of it, if you want them. I think this is when I started experimenting with different drums. We may have heard those already, I don't know. I do know that the original demo was just a couple of loops that I had chopped up and some other sounds I had programmed, and that pretty much was what carried this demo all the way up until the point we started tracking instruments for real. So part of the what makes this more exciting to me when I'm working in these kinds of settings is taking something that has been in demo form for a long time and reprogramming sounds, and that's what makes it exciting to me, because at that point I'm so bored with the track already I just as soon never release it because it sucks in my mind. So me pulling in new sounds and making it a little fresher, it at least keeps me interested. But as I mentioned earlier in this commentary, there are certainly times where I do something in a demo stage and it stays all the way to the end, right into the final mix. You know, I feel like we're still listening to those crappy drums. In fact, right here, I think you're listening to my single mic because you hear how thin they sound compared to the final version, and very bright and obnoxious. Oh, God, I'm so tired. I need to take a nap. There we go. New live drums. They sound very unprocessed and very raw, but this was the beginnings, I think, of me starting to paste those in. I had known that I wanted this to kind of be a loop. So the drum performance was, I just wrote a pattern and I wanted it to be a looping pattern. Although I played it many different ways and different performances of the same pattern, I just knew I wanted the pattern to kind of remain the same. Not really hearing any bass in here. I think this was when I knew that the synth I had in the chorus was just there as a placeholder. So I had already muted that and we went on to cut live bass for the chorus. Experimenting with beats there. That obviously did not make the cut. That's much closer to what made the cut right there, beat-wise. That low octave in that vocal was a complete accident. I ended up using one of the DeFi plugins from DigiDesign to, I was going to distort that vocal or do something more tweaked with it, and I just instantiated it, and instantly it threw a low sub octave under there, and it does not sound natural. It's kind of a very synthetic effect, and I liked it, and I left it in the early demos. And of course, when I end up doing that, I get used to it, and then I want to just keep it. I think, I could be wrong, but I think, a little Cell Dweller trivia, I think this is the first song that I actually cut vocals for this record. The reason I know this is because when we got into mix, the vocals didn't sound great to me, like as far as sonically. We had definitely improved the vocal chain during the process, but we had to EQ this a little harder than some of the other tracks because it was a little darker than some of the other tracks were. Make sure to put that on my wiki page because that's really, really important information. Okay, so I started bringing in some synths into this chorus. Up until this point, the chorus was just guitars, bass, and drums. And, you know, that works for a lot of artists, but for some reason, I just can't do it. I've tried. It's just so boring to me. There's so many other sonic palettes you could choose from and make something so much more interesting. But again, it comes down to simplicity versus complexity, and I just always, I lean towards the complex side. I can't help it. I've tried to change it, didn't work. Kind of the same experience I had with my diaper. I feel like that squeaky sound was kind of in the final version, but now that I'm hearing it, I don't even remember it being there. It's probably buried under a ton of other crap. There we go, leaning towards the complex side. Could have just left it simple, but nah. So I kind of have that synth kind of going in the background there, that bouncy melody, which I knew pretty quickly I did not like, but that ultimately ended up leading me in some direction that ended up bringing out this choir element that I ended up with in the final chorus. And then I'm plugging in some kind of other kinds of pads or strings or something, and then I started going, you know what, I think this needs to be a choir. So I ended up pulling some choir elements into the chorus in addition to a bunch of other synths to create this more epic feel. I mean, I'm talking about a girl who's standing at the edge of the world, and I kind of wanted it to feel like that. Again, I don't really know if that even works. This is all that kind of stuff that happens in my own head, and it's all just done to make me happy. It's like a director talking about, yeah, I had this scene in this movie because I really wanted to, you know, fulfill this desire, or it said this, you know, this is what it spoke to me. And most people out there would go, well, I don't get it. She's just sitting at the counter eating a cookie. I don't get the relevance. And it's much like some of these other things I'm talking about where that's my girl sitting at the counter eating a cookie. Most people would just look at it at face value and say, yeah, that's just blah, blah, blah. But in my mind, no, it's much bigger. It's much more grand. So I've got some kind of 16th note pad thing going in there. Again, this was all leading up to the choir. I started with the progression, which is where I think the progression that I'm using is what ultimately ended up leading me in the direction of the notes for the choir. But I knew really, again, very quickly that that kind of sucked balls. I didn't like the 16th note thing. In my mind, that was more of a throwback to like Skinny Puppy or something like that, which, you know, man, I love those pulsing strings they always used to do, but it didn't work for this track, and so I scrapped it. Again, experimenting with drums there. In this third third verse happening right here. Yeah, right there. I changed those drums up from the first two verses. The first two verses were more of like this kind of more dubstep, hip-hop, like an influenced vibe. And this, I went way more specifically industrial. I just wanted it to be more sonic and a little dirtier and more raw. Again, I don't know at the end of the day if that even translates. This could all be that stuff that's in my own mind. But as long as I think it sounds that way, I can sleep at night. And there's the choirs, boys and girls. These were my first attempts at putting them in there, and as soon as I plugged them in, I knew that this was the direction I needed to head. So it was more about finding the right combination of notes and not being overly busy with it. That little gap in the drums and that fill, again, that was from the earliest demos. I had cut up some drums and I moved them off the grid accidentally, and it ended up creating this little space in the mix that I really loved. And so that ended up making it to the end. And there was me experimenting with some plugins and turning my voice from this full sounding vocal into this little distorted kind of AM radioed thing. I ended up using McDSP's Futz box for that, probably some Camel Fat, and probably a couple of other plugins, but it's just a combination of a number of things and crossfading between the original and the affected. I end up being that guy that, the reason I love Pro Tools is because I'm that guy that likes to just process right on the track. I hated Logic for that you couldn't just grab 20 audio regions all in the same part of the grid and just affect them with an audio suite plugin right there. You had to bounce everything out and bring it back in, and I really, really, I don't work that way. So those are examples of me just kind of taking sounds, and I'm just hard committing them. I'm just processing audio directly on them, and then I create a new playlist, and I process it again, and I create a new playlist, and I process it again. And there are definitely times I have to backpedal and go to prior playlists, and you know, maybe I tweaked something a little too hard, or it just wasn't the desired effect. So I don't know if this is where the breakdown started. I don't think so, because it feels like it's getting really boring. This is the way the chorus always was. It just kind of kept going and then just stopped. Yeah, like it's doing right now. It's very boring. So I knew I wanted to create some ending. There never really was an ending here. So I just created an ending that breaks down, brought this pad in, different vocal iterations, and felt much more complete to me. But that's not that version, obviously. Yeah, I think this is going to be the new ending. Maybe I'm wrong. We're going to find out. Let's all hold hands and wait for it. I'm scared. Yep. That is the beginnings of that whole breakdown sequence at the end. Again, I think that's McDSP's Futz box right there on that vocal. I have a feeling this is just a further tweaking of that ending part. Quite honestly, can't tell. So you guys can dissect it and, like I said, compare notes. But I hope you've enjoyed my incessant blabbing as much as I have. Actually, I hope you enjoyed it a lot more, because I didn't really enjoy it at all. I hear myself talking off. So this is just, maybe it's more novelty for you, because then you get to hear me talk, but I'm tired of hearing myself talk, so I'm out of here.